Good morning, Northwoods. Come on, would you stand up on your feet? We're reaching out to see you move again. We can hardly wait. Come flood this place. We're ready now. It's all about to change. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Open the It's yours, unlock the gates and open up the doors. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Let your fire fall, let your fire fall. Open the
weakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Amen. Amen. In John 15, 9, Jesus says this to his disciples. He says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. You know, this love we've been singing about, God's love. Jesus said, remain in it. Live in it. Keep coming back to my love again and again and again, because it's in my love you find all you need. It's in my love you're satisfied. In my love you're fulfilled. And I don't know what's going on in your life today, what you brought in here with you, what you might be feeling right now in your heart. But I want us to just take a moment to just remind our souls again of God's love. To just return again this morning, no matter what's going on. Just put everything else to the side and just come back to His love and refocus ourselves on His love for us again, and to rest in that today. And I want to pray a prayer over you. Paul prayed it over the Ephesian church. And if you're comfortable, I want to just invite you. You can put your hands out. You can raise a hand. It's just like you're receiving a gift. It's like an expression of faith, just saying, God, I agree with that. I receive what you want to give me today. So just let your heart come into agreement with this today as we pray this together. It's God's heart for you. It's His will for us today. So Lord Jesus, I pray that out of your glorious riches, you would strengthen us with power through your Spirit in our inner being. That Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that we would be rooted and established in your love. And that we would have power to understand and to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep the love of Jesus Christ is for us. That we would know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that we would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We pray it today in Jesus' name. mountains and you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down.
Moving our hearts, heaven, yes, Lord. Spirit, that's our prayer this morning. We invite you to flood this place with your presence, and we invite you to flood our lives. Fill us up, every single part of us, Holy Spirit. Flood our lives. I pray that we'd be a people that, just like the Apostle Paul said, we would go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Fill us up, Holy Spirit. Empower us to be your witnesses to the ends of the earth. And we pray that you would speak to us today through the rest of this service. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, you can go ahead and grab a seat. Welcome to Northwoods. Well, great to have you with us this weekend. Glad you could make it out. We are all officially a part of the Frozen Chosen this morning. It is a cold one out there, isn't it? But hey, you made a decision to be here, and that's what counts. I just believe God's word when the psalmist said, he said, planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish. I just believe there's certain things that will only happen in our lives when we just make a decision to plant ourselves in the house of the Lord. And I believe that there's parts of our lives that will flourish because of that. So thanks again for being here. The ushers are starting to take the offering, starting to receive the offering right now. And as they are, I want to let you know a couple things we have coming up. Next weekend, we will not only be wrapping up our 21 days of prayer and fasting, but we'll also be wrapping up the series that we're in right now called It's Launch Time. And next weekend, we'll be talking about how to go to new levels of fulfillment. Then the weekend after that, go ahead and mark your calendar. It's baptism weekend. It's going to be a great weekend. And our senior pastor, Cal Rickner, will be talking about how to be a kingdom MVP. So if you are one of those 1,300 who recently surrendered your life to Jesus Christ at the Christmas production, this is your weekend. Mark this weekend, because baptism is your next step. And I've always loved the analogy that baptism is really like the wedding ring of our faith. It's the outward symbol that shows the commitment we've made to Jesus Christ. And so if you would like to get baptized, if you know someone who would like to get baptized, you can either pre-register before that weekend online, or you can just show up that weekend. We have the towels, we'll have the t-shirts, we'll have the shorts, and we will make sure the water is warm, all right? We'll make sure the water's warm. We'll take care of it all. You just come on out, and we will celebrate what God does together. Now, if you're a parent in the room, if you're a parent watching online, I want to have a quick thing for you. This coming weekend, we have a free two-day conference we're going to be hosting here at Northwoods called Centered. Now, Centered is really aimed at helping to equip those of us that are parents to be the parent, be the spiritual leader that God has called us to be in the home. So we have some great speakers you'll get to hear from, but we also have some really practical breakouts that happen at that conference that really answer some of the questions that we as parents a lot of times have. So think about this. Say you have a two-year-old or maybe a three-year-old child, and you're saying, hey, my child has just started throwing temper tantrums, just started screaming, and I don't even know what to do when that happens. We're going to talk about that. Maybe you're the parent of a teenager and you're saying, man, I'm just trying to figure out, how do I stay up to date with everything my teenager is doing on their phone? Social media, I don't even know, how do I keep up with it? Right, we're going to talk about that too. Going to be a great conference. Would love to have you join us. There will be free childcare, birth all the way up to sixth grade, and we'll even feed you on Friday night and Saturday morning. So come on out. Make sure you register for that. It's already half full. There's a limited amount of spots for that. So just don't wait till the end of next week to register because you might miss out. So hope to see you there this coming Friday and Saturday at the Centered Conference. Now, for those of you who would love to take a mission trip, maybe your very first mission trip with us here at Northwoods, we have two really great opportunities coming up. And these are two trips that are really a great first step into missions with Northwoods. And we're going to be holding information meetings about those trips immediately following this service. So we'll have an information meeting about an upcoming trip to the Dominican Republic, and we'll also have an info meeting about an upcoming trip to Brazil, both of which sound way warmer than it is here right now. So if you have any interest in those, make sure you check out the meeting after the service. Thanks again for being here. Go ahead and check out the side screens.
Heavenly Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, creator of my creativity, my thoughts, my actions, my expressions. In the past year, my prayers have focused on being better, being bigger, achieving more, receiving more, being self-aware, self-confident, self-satisfied, and it's led me to be self-centered. In the midst of communicating my expectations, I forget to focus on your excellence. Remind me that this plan is much bigger than me. Align my spirit with your will. Use me. Guide me. Allow my heart to wrap around your plan, your desires, your expectations. Place me in the position, the exact position, to reach new heights, new levels of faith, of freedom, of fulfillment. God, it's time to be launched.
All right, how's everybody today? Huh? Doing good? I'm watching that. What does that C stand for? Okay. I haven't had a chance to come back and let your Bear fans know I was cheering for you. Sorry for the doink doink, okay? But you're still wearing it, so that's all right. It's great to have you here, really. And man, I'm telling you, I was like, unless it's 20 below or 20 inches, we're having church this week. This is our game time, right? Pastors don't like to sit at home on Sunday morning. So welcome to all of you on our other campuses, our online family. And particularly do I not like missing weekends when we're fasting together. It helps me when we get together. And I hope as we've been going through the 21-day fast that you're leaning into this. God's been blessing you. He's been showing you things. You've been sensing his presence. And if for some of you, you know, you're like me when you say 21 days. However you're using it, it seems like a long time, right? Here's the way to think of it now. This is a six-day fast till we're done. And so we're in our last week. Keep leaning into it because I know God has things to show you. And it was 2 weeks ago. We had just started the series. Monday morning, I jumped a plane real early to get to Atlanta for a conference I was going to be in from Monday to Thursday. Great, great conference. Looking forward to bringing the material here. It's called Unique. And amazing, amazing stuff. I was just glad to be there to scout it out. And I got in early to Atlanta, so I get out to where the conference is going to be held and check in. I'm at the hotel. I go, maybe they'll let me in early. You know, I'm 10 o'clock. And they did. The gal behind the desk was really sweet. Checked me in. I've never had this happen, ever. The many, many hotels I've stayed at. She starts telling me all about MJ's across the road, which is an all-you-can-eat buffet. It's the greatest food, I mean. And I'm standing there, why are you telling me this? And she's going on and on and on about the food. And I'm sitting there smiling. And inside I'm going, lady, shut up right now. I don't want to hear about food. I had made my plan, okay? I was going on shutdown for a while. 1 o'clock comes around. We get out to our where the conference is going to be held. This church had bought a beautiful ministry house. And I walk in there and every table is just spread with chocolate all over the place. The kitchen is filled with sodas and, you know, snacks of all kinds. And I'm thinking, Lord, these guys are killing me. And finally it came time for the first presentation. And early in the seminar, he's talking about the drifts that we all face in our lives as we're shaping our gifts and our passions and finding our purpose. We're, you know, to some extent, we all face the same three temptations that Jesus faced. So he's talking about Jesus having fasted 40 days. You know, he was hungry. He stops. He says, you think? He says, you guys ever tried fasting? I'm going, I'm not raising my hand, but I'm going, if you only knew. And then he goes, I'm a terrible faster. I can't do it. I get mad whenever I don't eat. And then he goes, I said, that sounds like an excuse, dude. And then he starts telling it. I'm going, I've never been in a seminar where a guy says, we are inviting all of you. It's about 22, 25 of us. You're all coming to my house tonight. And he goes through the list of my wife is the best cook. And here's what we're going to have. And he goes right down the list, right? I'm like, dude, I'm ready to lay you out right now. You know? And I had to say, no, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to just sit around and watch everybody else eat. But here's what I want you to know. You set yourself to fast and pray at whatever level, and your stomach and mind will rebel and look for every excuse to tempt you and get you to cave in. And that's why you just sometimes, as I do, just have to tell you, I listen and go, stomach, you hungry? Nope. But the mouth is sure wanting some. Palate, go sit in the corner and shut up. You got to talk to it like that. They're spoiled brats. And this is what God is trying to do through fasting and prayer. He's bringing your body, your mind, your will, your emotions, your appetites under the control of the spirit man who is under the control of the Holy Spirit. So everything else lines up. How many of you know that your body and your soul make great servants, but they make terrible masters? And so God brings us into a place where he said, I want to bring you into line so that your holy, so that your spirit is functioning under the Holy Spirit, and your body and soul are therefore in line with me as well. And when we get there, we can expect to be launched into new levels of freedom in our lives, which is our topic today. Being launched into new levels of freedom. Now, while I was at this conference, one of the presentations, there was an illustration that just riveted me. I went online and found it, and I thought, so this wasn't unique to the person who was telling it, but I thought, I have got to use that. And it comes from a 1996 conference, the ABCA, American Baseball Coaches Association, a conference in Nashville where 4,000 of them descended on Opryland, and I learned that this convention goes on every year in early January. In fact, they just had it from like January 2nd to 6th in Dallas this year, the 75th convention, where I mean coaches from every level, little league all the way through the major leagues. Other countries bring coaches, you know, in developing countries trying to develop their program, you know, and this type of thing. And they spend 4 days of clinic presentation and industry exhibits where they just learn the latest and the greatest to develop their baseball skills. The coaches learn, see. But the convention held in 96 was special because that year the 4,000 who were gathered together in their shared love of baseball learned a remarkable, unforgettable way that baseball was simply a metaphor for their lives. Their teacher was a 78-year-old baseball coach and favorite convention speaker named John Scolinas. You can look him up and read about his life. And though he passed away in 2009 at the age of 91, in 1996, Coach Scolinas was 5 years retired from a college coaching career that began in 1948. Now, I'll try my best to reenact a little of what took place as he walked to the podium that day. He comes up. I don't have my blue, dark blue polyester pants on. He had a light blue shirt. But as he was shuffling to the podium that day, it was clear to everybody that he was wearing around his neck just a snow white home plate dangling from the neck. They're all kind of laughing and thinking, what's the old man up to? Because think of a Lou Holtz in football, somebody like that, kind of a motivational speaker. He gets to the podium, rousing standing ovation, and he begins to speak 25 minutes without acknowledging that home plate, and begins to see the crowd kind of chuckling, and some people think, this guy crazy, he kind of forgot about the prop around his neck or whatever. And those who even knew him are going, where's he going with this, right? Finally, when he gets him there, he says, I'll bet you're all wondering what I'm doing with a baseball home plate around my neck. Of course, everybody starts laughing. He said, no. He said, I didn't just escape from Camarillo State Mental Hospital. You know, they all roared. He said, I may be old, but I'm not crazy. No, he said, I'm here as an old baseball coach to teach you today what I've learned about home plate in my life. He said, where are the Little League coaches? Raise your hands if you're a Little League coach. A few hands went up out there. He said, Little League coaches, how wide is home plate in Little League? Long pause. And then almost as more of a question than an answer, somebody said, 17 inches? He said, you're right. 17 inches. Are there Babe Ruth coaches around here? Hands went. What about you, Babe Ruth? Still a long pause, not sure what to do with that, but finally somebody volunteered, 17 inches. You're right. Now people are catching on as he goes, where are the high school coaches? A lot of hands went up. How wide is home plate in high school? Now they're catching on. 17 inches. Where are my college coaches? Hands go up. How wide is home plate in college? 17 inches. Where are my minor league coaches? How wide is home plate in pro ball? 17 inches. Now you pretend that you're the coaches for major league. I'm asking you. Major league coaches, how wide is home plate in the major leagues?
17 inches.
And he then his voice bellowing off the walls, 17 inches. And they're all laughing and clapping, you know. And he said, and what do we do in the big leagues with a pitcher that can't throw the ball across the 17 inches? They're laughing now. He says, we banish him to Pocatello. That's some out in the boonies town in Idaho somewhere, which means if you go there, you're not coming back. And everybody's just roaring. He says, what we don't do is say, oh, Jimmy, you can't throw it over the 17 inches? How about we expand it to 18 or 19? If you can't hit that, how about we make it 20? And if you can't hit that, just let us know. We'll make it 25. They're all laughing, and then the old long pause, and the old coach says, coaches, he says, what do you do when your best player breaks the team rules? When he shows up late for practice, when he's caught drinking, do you hold him accountable for his actions? Or do you widen the plate to fit him? All of a sudden, you could hear a pin drop as the fog begins to lift. Then, he holds the plate up in front of himself, like so, and he does something to it. Turns around like this. Says, you want to know the problem in our homes? In our marriages, in our raising children, with our discipline today, there are no consequences when somebody doesn't play by the rules. We widen the plate. We don't teach accountability to our kids. And there's no consequence for failing to meet standards. We widen home plate. He took it down, drew something else on it, put a little flag up there at the top, turned around and said, you want to know the problem in our nation today? You think of our education going downhill and we're refusing to give our teachers the kind of tools they need and the ability to not only teach but to discipline our kids? We've widened the plate. Can I add, this is the problem in our nation today. When we no longer can define the plate over which we're supposed to throw the pitch, when we have basically stuck God's word, the Judeo-Christian principles upon which this nation was founded, we've taken them, thrown them behind our back. When politicians make laws that they have no intent themselves on obeying, but they force you to obey when they don't enforce the laws that are on the book. Do you know in our nation today, now the only person who's out of line, who's called a hater, is the one who will call balls and strikes according to the word of God. They're the hater. Amen. That's our nation today. He took it down, drew something else, held it up, said, do you want to know what the problem is in our churches today? I'll ad lib again. I can take you to whole denominations that no longer know what the Word of God is. They do not preach Jesus Christ alone. Oh, he's just one of many. They're afraid to preach the moral absolutes of God's Word because of how the culture has been drifting. They've widened the plate. Let that sink in for a while. And then Coach Scalinas concluded, if you remember one thing from this old coach today, I hope it's this. If we fail to hold ourselves to a higher standard of what we know is right, and I'll say a higher standard based upon the home plate of this book. If we fail to hold our spouses, our children, to the same standards, if we are unwilling or unable to provide a consequence when they do not meet the standard, and if our schools and churches and our government fail to hold themselves accountable to those they serve, there is but one thing to look forward to. With that, he held home plate in front of his chest, turned it around, and revealed the backside, and he said, this is how he concluded, dark days ahead. Is that good? I hope whenever you see a home plate again, you understand it's a parable for our lives and for our society. When you widen the plate, you lose the entire game. Now people want to throw a pitch anywhere they want to throw it and call it a strike because there's no standard. And I love the story. I love that picture. Because it clearly portrays what was going on in some of the dark days of Israel's history. Now, to help you understand, you need to know that when life was at its best for the Israelites, they were committed to worshiping the one true God, seeking to align themselves with the home plate of God's word. Man, they were preaching this and teaching this, and people were lining up under it. The Ark of the Covenant, representing the presence of God, was in their midst. God was among them, and as a result, they dwelt under his blessing, his provision, his protection, his peace, and he would do mighty acts of power on their behalf. What's not to like with this picture? But over and over again throughout the book of Judges, the people of God would widen the plate. It's a theme in the book of Judges. Everybody would do what was right in their own eyes. Who are you to judge? I can throw the ball where I want, and it's a strike because I say so. They'd fall away from God. And in the end, they'd end up in painful bondage. I call this the crazy cycle. You get this down today, and you know the whole book of Judges. Just happened time, time, time again. Called the crazy cycle. You might see yourself in it once in a while. Because we all like to get on that bike and take a ride on the crazy cycle once in a while. But we'll begin at the top with blessing. God's in the midst. We're aligned with him. And he's pouring out his power. What's not to like? We love this. And then over time, I don't know what it is, little synchronism. We got to kind of blend in with the culture. And people start to say, you guys are too narrow. And so, well, maybe God's word doesn't. We become apathetic. We start kind of losing hold. And we stop remembering what got us here. And then once we get into a place of apathy, it's not long before the next part of the cycle happens. It's called compromise. Just as he came to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they know full well God said, you may eat from every tree in the garden except for one, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from that one. And the enemy comes along and says, did God really say? Come on, you could widen the plate a little. Do you really want to live that narrow of a life? Besides, you know, loosen up, have some fun, do what feels good, be your own judge. This is 2019, and no one really believes the Bible anymore. Besides, it's just someone's interpretation. And it happens in the church as well. Again, I'm not condemning, I'm not judging. I'm preaching the word and saying, you know what, wherever you are today, even if you're away from the word of God, he loves you. He wants to bring you back into a place of personal revival. But you got to come his way. But see, when I hear a young couple say, well, I know the word of God says we shouldn't be unequally yoked together, you know, believers shouldn't marry unbelievers and this type of thing, but you know what, come on, that's kind of old fashioned. We love each other, we're going to make it work, and we widen the plate. And how many, well, you know, we love each other. We know we're getting married, so we're okay to just kind of live together. And, you know, even though I know God's word says it's not right to, you know, really be intimate before we get married and that type of thing. Come on, that's a little old-fashioned, isn't it? And we widen the plate. I know what God's word says, that marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman, but, again, I'm not casting stones. I'm saying, I want to invite you into what God's saying here. Compromise. We widen the plate. And so when the Israelites weren't willing to walk in alignment with God's rule, the 17 inches of his word, they would be given over to their enemies. And they would invariably fall into a place of bondage, which included the worship of other gods. Boy, we hear that today. Who are you to claim that Jesus Christ, the only way, that Bible is the authoritative word of God, all religions are equal, and so everybody's good. And we widen the plate. Meanwhile, in that day, no one would seem to recognize that while the physical ark was still present, the presence of God had long since disappeared. He didn't seem to be acting on their behalf anymore. He wasn't answering their prayers. Oh, they might still go to church and worship, but there was no manifest presence of God, no miracles, no awesomeness, no joy, just dead ritual. And it was usually in this place of bondage. Now he's allowed enemies to come against them. That the pain would get so bad. And they would begin to remember. Do you remember how good it was when God was dwelling among us? Look at how far we've drifted. And then the tears would go, I want to get back to where I was. God, I'm sorry. And they would come into a place of repentance. Longing, sorrow, tears for how far their lives had drifted. Man, once they got here, they confessed their sin, brought their lives back in line with home plate, the rule of God in their lives, and God would show up. And that wasn't long, guys. They didn't wait long, and it would be revival. And they would be back into a place of blessing. Now listen, if you understand that crazy cycle, like I said, you understand the entire book of Judges and how the people of God would just ride that cycle over and over and over again. And that's what's going on when we move from the book of Judges into the book of 1 Samuel. Samuel was the last judge. He's the one who anointed the first king. Now we're moving from judges to kings. But when we come to the end of Samuel's reign, essentially, before he anoints that king, the people are finally waking up to the pain of their bondage, which has been going on now for 20 years. The ark has been displaced after having been captured by their enemies 20 years before. Of course, the enemies of God can't live with his presence in their in their midst. So they finally just sent the ark away. It came back to Israel, but the Israelites were like, oh, we don't want it in our midst. It could harm us. And so they weren't allowed, you know. They're not in a place with God where they really want to host his presence. But they're ready now for renewal and revival. They don't want bondage anymore. So we pick up the story in 1 Samuel 7. All the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning, that's the Hebrew word for repenting. If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of your foreign gods and Ashtoreth and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only. And look at what he told them. And he will deliver you out of your bondage. He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and Ashtoreth and served the Lord only. And then Samuel calls for it'd be like us calling all of Northwoods together. Come on, all 10,000 of you, 12,000 of you or whatever, who call you home. We got to get together one place, one time. Why? Look what he did here. On that day, they fasted. It's the biblical way of humbling yourself before God. They fasted and they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. And as I said, in short order, as the people came into alignment with God, he delivered them from the hand of the Philistine, the bondage. And he displayed his amazing power on their behalf. Now, you know, 20 years before this episode, which started this 20 years of bondage ruling, it was a nasty attack. The Philistines actually stole the Ark of God. And this one daughter of a priest in Israel, or she was the wife of one of the Israelite priests, she heard of the disaster as somebody came back and said, your father-in-law was killed, your husband was killed, your two brother-in-laws were killed, and the Ark has been stolen. I mean, this is disaster. And she's giving birth in the moment. And she names her child Ichabod, meaning the glory has departed. Don't any of you ever name your child Ichabod, okay? I won't ever dedicate a child up on this stage named Ichabod. The glory has departed. But I say that to say this. Maybe that's how some of you feel about your life today. The glory has departed. I used to be excited about the things of God. But now, I just feel like I'm drifting and I'm spiritually bored. What happened? I used to sense the presence of God in worship, but it's been a long time. I used to be passionate about my relationship with Jesus, but I've just kind of fallen away. Glory has departed. And if you're experiencing the pain of bondage in your life, distance from God, I'm telling you, he's waiting to deliver you, but you have to come his way. You can know his freedom. You can know his blessing again. You can know his favor resting on your life, but you have to come his way. And so I want to give you just a couple of keys to personal revival today. Again, consistent with getting launched into new freedom, new blessing, new favor. Several keys to critical keys to personal revival. Number one is this. Key number one, you're going to have to recognize where you've ignored the plate, where you've ignored home plate. God's work in your life always begins with recognition so that you can reveal to him what's going on. He can't heal what you won't reveal. Go back to that place where you lost God's presence and ask, what happened? Maybe you were hurt. Couldn't understand why God allowed this, so I got offended at him, walked away. Maybe it was a church that hurt me. Instead of forgiving, walked away. Bunch of hypocrites down there. I always say, well, welcome, we can always use one more. Maybe your spouse wasn't treating you right, and you started justifying spending time with someone else and flirting around. What actions or choices led to your present bondage? When did you get off the path? You lost the ark of his presence somewhere. When did you last have it? And you will probably find in that place that that is where you started ignoring God's voice in your life. Love a little story I read a couple weeks ago of a mother who was helping her young son with a spelling test. The exam included several pairs of words that were spelled almost alike but were vastly different in meaning. And so she asked her son, do you know the difference between conscious and conscience? The little guy said, oh, yeah, my teacher says that conscious is being aware of something and conscience is wishing you weren't. We've all been there, haven't we? Here's my question. Where did you consciously start ignoring God's word and the voice of the Holy Spirit, knowing full well in your conscience that you were doing so? See, God's not exposing your bondage so he can condemn you. He's exposing it so he can lead you to freedom and personal revival. But he can't lead you there if you continue to ignore his word and the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. So examine your life for places of bondage or pain. That would be a great thing to do while you're leaning into this fast, these last 6 days. Where's their bondage? Where's their pain in my life? And you want to bring that before God, and you want to ask him where and when and why did that pattern start in my life, Lord? I want to be healed there. I don't want to ignore your word anymore. Recognize where you've ignored home plate. Here's key number two. Repent where you've widened home plate. See, when you ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit, your conscience will become numb, and it won't be long until you begin to widen home plate so that you can justify what's going on in your life. At this point, you have hardened your heart against God. And this is the way of the hardened heart, as I've taught you before from Ephesians 4:19. And guys, this is not just unbelievers who've hardened their heart. Believers can harden their heart. That's why the word says, don't harden your heart if you hear his voice. That's talking to believers. And so within the context of hardened heart, Paul says, here's what happens. Having lost all sensitivity at that particular place in the hardened heart, what happens? They have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You won't even have to, I'm not charging you any extra for this right now, okay? Here's the descending scale, the way of the hardened heart. Starts with, I really don't like what God's saying. And I start hardening myself, numbing my conscience to what I know the word says. That's hardening. Next step down is loss of sensitivity. That means now your conscience is numb. You don't feel the joy you used to feel before. You got to feel good. You want to feel good. That's at the place of having lost sensitivity, which leads then to sensuality. I don't feel good because I'm numb. I want to feel good. So at sensuality, I do something to make me feel good. This is the kind of stuff that God's trying to break through fasting and prayer, where I'm living my life through my senses. And since my conscience is numb, I just want to, I'll do this because it makes me feel good. Come on, you wouldn't sin if it didn't feel good. But what happens? If I don't bring myself back into line, the sensuality leads to impurity. All kinds of impurity, Ephesians 4:29 says, because that now is my drug of choice. And I've widened the plate to justify it. And you get there, you can bet bondage is going to happen. That's what the word means when it says, with a continual lust for more. Now you're in bondage, you're in addiction. It's the way of the hardened heart. And the only answer for a hardened heart of rebellion against God is what the Bible says in Hosea 10 and verse 12. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts. For now is the time to seek the Lord. Why? What a promise. That he may come and shower righteousness upon you. He's talking about he wants to come and bless you. He wants to come and break the bondage. He wants to come and bring you back into a place of favor. He wants personal revival in your life. Anybody up for that today? I mean, come on, guys. It's the choice, blessing or bondage. Are you kidding me? But it is your choice. If you want blessing and revival, you're going to have to repent of widening the plate. Because that is the essence of living in rebellion against God. And he's not going to bless you while you're in rebellion. Yes, he loves you. Yes, he's trying to expose that so he can bring you back to himself, but he can't bless you. This is why the Israelites had to remove their false gods. They had to tear down their Ashtoreths, which were part and parcel of all kinds of sexual immorality. They had to say, Lord, we're going to serve you only from now on. Your will, your word, your way. We are ridding ourselves of all the idols, the things we have craved instead of you. We repent of widening the plate. Now, you talk about widening the plate today, and you can hear it even in the church. People will say, yeah, but isn't God a God of love and grace? Oh, he is. He'll forgive you over and over and over again every time you miss the plate. But that's something different we'll talk about in a moment. You are trying to hit the plate. You're in agreement with God's plate. Because you're human, because you're weak sometimes, because there may be bondage in your life, you don't understand why I'm trying to throw it over the plate, but I keep missing. But I agree with God's word. That's not rebellion against God. That's something else. As I said, we'll talk about that in a minute. The point is, there's grace and forgiveness with God every time you miss the mark. But listen now, because a lot of people are deceived and confused about this. You cannot walk in rebellion against God, knowing full well that you have widened the plate. And still think he's going to bless you and his grace and his love will be okay because that's God. No, no, no. You're doing what the New Testament calls turning the grace of God into a license for immorality. And I cannot find one place in the Bible where you can do that and you're going to be okay. You will be under the judgment of God if you continue to live your life that way. I say that on the authority of God's word. Not because he doesn't love you, but because he cannot bless you when you've taken yourself out from under the umbrella of his grace and alignment to the authority of his word. You have to come in repentance. You have to come and say, God, I am ready to do it your way. I repent of living on my own terms and making my own rules. I'm ready to accept you and your rule in my life. I live under this authority. So you have to repent of where you've widened home plate. And then key number three is you confess and renounce where you've missed home plate. Again, missing home plate is vastly different than widening home plate. In the Bible, sin is to miss the mark. I got to come in confession and say, Lord, I missed it. That's far different than tearing down the standard altogether. Miss the mark. Here you're not living in rebellion against God. You're not rejecting what he says. You just, for whatever reason, you're missing the plate. Now with widening the plate, you have to plow up the hard ground. With missing the plate, you have to pull up the weeds. wherever they're sprouting in your life. And these weeds refer to sins of the flesh that are hindering you. Here's the great promise. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us. Do you see? God, I was trying to hit the plate, but I missed. He's faithful and just, will forgive you and purify us from all unrighteousness. So you bring the weeds that have been hindering your walk, be it lust, be it greed, be it anger, gossip, bitterness, worry, fear, pride, envy, jealousy, whatever it is. God doesn't want to just forgive your sin. He wants to free you from it. So with besetting sins and areas of bondage in our lives where we agree with God, God, I'm in total agreement with that. I don't want that lust in my life. See? But maybe we're missing the plate, and our pattern has been we confess and fail, we confess and fail, we confess and fail. If that's been the pattern in your life, I'm just let that be a sign that there is work to do. That's usually indicative of a stronghold in your life from which you need to be freed. And so you ask the Lord, when did this pattern begin in my life? What's the underlying? Usually there's an underlying emotional wound you haven't even noticed yet, a trauma, a root that needs to be healed. And what lies have I believed about myself or God or others? You go into these places as you are fasting and praying. Guys, listen, there is power released in fasting that can absolutely break chains. As God shows you areas, you just confess them and then renounce them, and you say, in Jesus' name, I renounce this sin and the spirit behind it, and I command it to loose me. Leave me alone. And then you invite Jesus to heal those wounded places in your life. And guys, if it seems that you haven't been making headway on your own, particularly if you're sitting here going, that's been the pattern. I agree with God's word, but it's been confess, fail, confess, fail, confess, fail in the same places in my life for years. You know what? That's a sign that you need some outside ministry. So why not make this the year? Man, fill out a form and get to our Thursday night freedom and deliverance prayer time. God may blow some things up there for you. Others of you, guys, we have ministries around here to help you, to get you into freedom. That's what our Regen ministry is, a powerful ministry of discipleship, of helping you walk out, of teaching you how to throw strikes over that plate where you've been confess, fail, confess, fail, confess, fail all your life. Get to Regen. Why not make this the year? Lord, I'm trusting you for launch into new freedom. Come this way. It won't be long. Here's number four, is just reach for healthy community. I wrap this up quickly. Let other people be a part of your healing journey to freedom. Stay connected to the church. Come each week to worship and hear God's word. Grab a group of guys and gals to walk with you. I love the line, you know, we were wounded in community. Maybe your family wasn't very healthy. Wherever it was, we were wounded in community, and we only get healthy in community. That's why we need healthy community. So identify those safe people who can walk with you as you move towards health and wholeness. What do you say, church? Are you ready for the fresh blessing and freedom that comes through personal revival? Let God know you're ready to go there, and you'll find that life gets better and better as you fall in love with your coach and leader again, and he teaches you to fire strike after strike after strike over home plate. That's the life he has for you. Amen. Come on, get on your feet, and I want to pray for you. I want to bless you. We're going to make a confession today as we leave here. And guys, when I'm done praying, I want you to just stay put for just a few minutes as our elder chair is going to come and make an announcement, okay? But I want to just your eyes and hearts bow before God. And those of you who feel okay doing this, raise your hand. It's almost like God. I'm my hand's up. I want you to see me. This is what I'm praying for me. And you follow me in this prayer of declaration. Come on, all of our campuses, even online, it's okay. Speak it out in your living room. And let's say it together. In Jesus' name, I confess you alone are my Lord. This year, for me, it's your will your way. Your word. I am under your authority. And I am asking you, Lord, and believing you for personal revival in Jesus' name. And if you're believing him to give you that, you lift up a shout right now. Give him thanks. Give him praise. He wants to bring that to your life. And you'll be one of those. You'll be one of those who are saying, why in the world was I ever living over there when I could be living right here? Amen. Now, listen, if you need prayer afterwards, after Jeff prays, you can come on down and our prayer team will be here to pray with you as they always are. Maybe some of you. Just have some people come around what you're praying into. Jeff?
Good morning. It's good to be with you here this morning. The elders, just imagine they're here behind Cal and I right now. They were here at 11 o'clock, so you guys didn't want to get out in the cold so quick. 9 o'clock, that's right. It's 11 now, isn't it? But anyhow, we're here to make an exciting announcement for Cal. And Susan, do you want to come on up here and join us? That would be terrific. And Mike Bell, who's one of our elders as well. But anyhow...
Man, you look really good today, honey. I bought her this. Is that cool?
So we one of the roles of the elders is to care for Cal. And... Cal works hard. I know you all know that. You know, many times I think we think that when Cal takes his time away in the summer and he does his study break that he's really resting. I want to assure you that he's working hard. He's preparing messages. He's reading books. He's studying. He's preparing the series for the rest of the preaching ministry year. He is working all the time. Cal gives his evenings up to do prayer with people all the time. Cal is working all the time. And one of our jobs is to take good care of him. And we've kind of maybe not done as well as we need to. And so our heart, the heart of the elders right now, is to really love Cal and Susan incredibly well. And so we are gifting, the elders of Northridge Community Church are gifting Cal and Susan an 8-week sabbatical retreat. That retreat will start on the 4th of February and will run through April 1st. So for those 8 weeks, these two are going to be off having fun. Yeah! They're just going to go have fun. They're going to enjoy themselves. We want to bless them. Remember, they've been doing this 28 years, you guys, and we should have given them sabbatical sooner, and we haven't. So that's on us. But we want to do that well for them now. And in that time, John is going to, Cal and the elders have asked John to kind of run the show for the 8 weeks. So he's going to do the series. He's going to do the preaching. He's got a team of people. They're going to do our messages for the next 8 weeks, and it's going to be awesome. So just know, there's no problem. Repeat after me, there's no problem. We want to love the Rickners. We want to take good care of them. Okay? So we're going to pray for them right now, and I'd like you to just extend your hand if you would. And we're just going to pray blessing over Cal and Susan. Heavenly Father, right now, we are so thankful for this couple that is our pastoral couple. We're so thankful for what they've done. We're thankful for Susan and the way she's loved Cal and her family and cared for him. God, we're so thankful for Cal and just the gifts you've given him. The way that Coach Rickner spoke to us today. The way he brought us truth today about not widening the plate. God, we pray blessing on them. We pray that you will just loose your Holy Spirit on them and rejuvenate and re-energize them. And God, we're so excited about when Cal comes back for Easter. Look out. It's going to be awesome, Father. So we just pray blessing on them. Just bless this church. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. And for those of you watching online, just so glad that you were with us today, and pray that God will use this in your life. A personal revival. Seek him for that even this week, as we only have 6 days to go. And again, just glad that you've been with us. Pray you have a blessed week. I look forward to seeing you next week.